Yeah, we have Kukas Bomak. So for us unfortunate people that live in the exile, we have a double parasha. For those boys that were in Eretz Yisrael, I guess if they would, I don't think anybody came back recently, but you'd get a shul 10 minutes earlier. Because they're only doing Bomak this week. We're doing Kukas and Bomak, so we'll focus on Kukas first, and if we have some time, maybe we'll try to say something as well on Balak. There's an interesting Magen Avraham that's quoted in this week's part. This is an interesting Magen Avraham, which I don't know how many of you are familiar. How many of the Olam here is familiar, but it's kedai to mention. Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, it says in the Magen Avraham that there was an old custom that people used to fast today. Now, it's too late to start accepting the fast upon yourself now, because it's something which you have to accept the day before. But historically, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas was a time that they used to, that it was a fast which was accepted by the Jewish community. And not only that, it was, you know, it was almost unfortunately, due to the fact that we have a lot of sad days on our calendar, there's like one of these days that we lost track of. Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Now, what's the significance of what happened to Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas? So the Magen Avraham says in the year 5004, so up to right now, 5780. So we're going back, what are you talking about? That's 5004. Now we're 5780. So that's 764 years ago, approximately. So you're talking about the 1300s. What happened was they burnt on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. They burnt 24 wagon loads of shas. Now what happened? Let's talk a little bit about the story. There was a vikuach. A vikuach means debate. Between Rabbeinu Yechiel miParis and the Chaim about the authenticity of the Shas, that a lot of issues were written, which we're going to talk about it. Rabbeinu Yechiel wanted to pay hands on. Now, what they did was, Rabbeinu Yechiel miParis before Rabbeinu Rotenberg, what they did was they burnt the Shas. Now, what happened was, after this of the Shas, actually there was a yeshiva. They tried to keep the yeshiva open without Shases. As you can imagine, it wasn't so successful, and they closed it down. So he left France. His name was Rabbi Yechiel miParis. So miParis means from Paris, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael. Moved to Eretz Yisrael, the city of Akko. He opened the yeshiva. The yeshiva was called Rabbeinu Yechiel miParis. At that time, the Ramban had to run away from Spain, and Ramban came to Eretz Yisrael as well. Ramban came to Eretz Yisrael as well, and the Ramban became the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, one of the kinnis that we say on Tisha B'Av, we say Shali Sruf for the Eish. Shali Sruf for the Eish means that we're begging that you should revenge those that burnt down, the shas that was burnt in fire. Very interesting, there was a church this year, slipped my mind, what's the name? It was in France, I believe. Famous church that burnt down this year. If anybody's familiar? That church was the area where they burnt down the shas. Now, by the way, this story about burning shas has happened in France. This happened in Italy at a later Notre Dame. Right? Somebody wrote on the bottom. Thank you. This happened in Italy as well. Also, they burnt down the shasas. The time of the Baal Shem Tov, the story happened, and this happened many times throughout history. Now, we know that events on the Jewish calendar are commemorated based on a date, right? You have Shavuos Betamiz, you have Tisha B'Av, you have Asar B'Teves, you have all events Purim, happy, sad. They're based on dates. Yud Cheshvan, Chav Cheshvan, so forth. The only date that's based on a parsha of the week and the day of the parsha of the week is Erev Shabbos parsha Chukas. Well, Shabbos Hagadol is true. It's also commemorate, but there isn't. It's the Shabbos before Pesach. As I guess, same as, and we spoke about this on the parsha here this year. For those that recall, why is it that way? But Erev Shabbos parsha Chukas is commemorated on Erev Shabbos parsha Chukas. Why Erev Shabbos parsha Chukas? So for those who aren't familiar, there's something called the Shailos Chaloyim. I mean, this is not something which is one of my strong points, but I'll try to explain it to the best of my ability. The idea of the Shailos Chaloyim is that somebody can ask in a dream, what's the reason for a certain event? Right after the story of the burning of the Shatzes, what happened was they asked in a dream, what was this because of? It's a terrible gezeira that they burnt down. They burnt 24 shasas. What was the point of this gezeira? So the dream, what they came back was, this is what the Magen Avraham brings. The Magen Avraham brings that the dream came back that Zayis Chukas Satayra, that's the opening part of this week's parsha. And in the dream they saw Yidoi Gezeira Saraisa. It's a decree for the lack of Kavar HaTayra. Now, what they assumed was that at that point, there was a public burning of the Rambam Svarim. You know, there were a lot of controversial things that are written in the Rambam Svarim, which there were many Rishonim that had issues with, particularly the Maariv Nevuchim. And there were public burnings of these Svarim. So, what happened was, and it was, you know, if anybody ever read through this, there was a group called the Maimonists. The Maimonists were those who were proto-Rambam, and the anti-Maimonists, those that were anti-Rambam. The anti-Maimonists went in public and burnt the Rambam Svarim. So the message from the dream came that Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, okay, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas is the time that it's Zayis Chukas HaTayr, dream was Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. So therefore, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas was designated to the Magen Avraham as a day of a fast day for the fact that the Shas was burnt. Now, I'm going to try to connect it in particularly to the Parshas Chukas and to try to see what the message is. There was a Jew in Yerushalayim. He was lifted around 25 years ago. It was a big Ovid Hashem. I once ate by him on Shabbos, and he told me an idea, and I want to polish this idea. His name was Reb Chaim Brim. He was an old Yerushalmi Yid. He was a Chassidish Yid. He was a Biyana Chosn. I was not familiar. Biyana is a group from one of the original. His children was Biyan. And I ate by this Reb Chaim Brim on Shabbos. And he told me an idea, and I want to share this with you. He said, you know, the Russians, from Hanukkah time, they used to go and spy throughout Russia if anybody's baking matzah. Well, why were the Russians crazy about baking matzah? They would send spies, and they would send people all over to see if there's anybody baking a matzah already from Hanukkah time. Why do they feel so? My grandmother, my mother's mother, was a Samarkand after the war, and she told me that there were spies then as well. They used to have to hide by davening, and there were spies to see if anybody's making matzah. Why were the Russians real communists, real atheists, you know, so anti-baking matzah? So we know that the Chazal tell us that matzah is considered the food of faith. It's the food which is protein for faith. Somebody sits and eats through a seder. Why are you eating that old-fashioned type of wafer bread? Well, I'm telling you a story. It's a story of faith. This is the story which represents, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim and so forth. So Reb Chaim Brim said, if the non-Jews, if the Goyim realize that matzah is the food of faith, it's the energy, it's the gas which feeds us with faith. So kal v'chaymer, 1,000 times the way we use it in our Gemara Shir. For sure. A Jew has to feel that what? The matzah is, gives us the energy and gives us the gasoline for faith. So he said an interesting point. If the Goyim realized that what represents the Jewish people and the beauty of the Jewish people is Torah Shabbat Peh, is Gemara, and they realized that they can get us through taking away our Torah Shabbat Peh, so they make this Kal V'chaymer thousands and thousands of times. Our Jew has to feel that his energy, his gasoline, what keeps him going is attachment to Torah Shabbat Peh, is attachment to learning Gemara. Again, if the guy was able to realize that matzah is the energy what gives us the kayach of faith, so the Kal V'chaymer Jew has to feel some. And if the guy is able to realize what makes us special is Torah Shabbat Peh, if they take away our Torah Shabbat Peh, we're gone. So we for sure have to strengthen ourselves in that idea to realize the Torah Shabbat Peh is the energy what keeps us going. Rabbi Shapiro was the one, the founder of the Daf Yomi, of the Daf Yomi movement. So, you know, in Yiddish, also, you know, we know the word Amud in Gemara, that's one side. A daf is two sides. In Yiddish, they have to refer to that as a plot, a two-side page. So what does the word daf actually mean? Daf actually means it's the part, the bottom part of a ship, right? So it says what keeps climbing. It's the dock after the dock. It's like the port by the ship. You go from one place and you travel. Why was it that they felt the non-Jews always attack us on Torah Shabbat Peh? If you look, Rabbi Isaac, Mordechai said that I was lagging. I just got one guy, Eitan, you can hear me? That the Torah Shabbat Peh, they felt that the Gemara, the Torah Shabbat Peh is the energy which connects us, and they felt that always is an attack on them. Now, if you look, I'll show you, everybody's familiar, there was a newspaper, the Nazis came out. There was a Nazi newspaper, it was called the Strummer, I'm almost positive that's the way it's pronounced. The Strummer, am I correct? Anybody familiar? Yeah, I'm almost positive that's the way it's pronounced. I'm not sure, German accent, but my Yiddish accent might be going off. The Nazis, in the Strummer, wrote that part of the idea of what they would like to do of their attack is they want to make sure that there shouldn't be one Talmudist left. I don't know if anybody ever saw this. On the cover of the Strummer, what they did was they actually had a picture of 10 Gdol Yisrael, and they said they were clearly on their hunt list. They had a picture of the last Belzer Rebbe. They had a picture of the last guy Rebbe. Interesting, these two people, they were able to survive. And they had the other two pictures. Unfortunately, some of them they got. They had a picture of Rochan Wasserman. Rochan Wasserman wasn't killed by the Nazis. They had a picture of the Alexander Rebbe. He was a big Hasidic Rebbe. They killed him. The picture of Menachem Zemba, he actually fell in the Warsaw Ghetto. They had a picture of a lineup of the 10 greatest Talmudists which existed in Eastern Europe. And they said that they're out to get the Talmudists. The Nazi, Hitler, understood that the energy of the Jewish people are people that learn Gemara, people that learn Torah Shabbat Peh. What's the correlation to why the non-Jews, they understood that that's our energy, but why were they so insulted with, and what's the connection between this and Parshas Chukas? In Parshas Chukas, we find an interesting thing. You know, if somebody's in a building with a Jewish person, and he's a Kayin, become somebody. Now, somebody which is in a building with a non-Jewish person, right? A kohen doesn't become tamei. You only become, if you touch a non-Jewish corpse, you still become tamei. But if you're in a building with a non-Jewish person, you don't become tamei. What's the reason for this? So Arachayim says, Arachayim writes in this one's parsha, where does Kedusha, the stoma, right? That's when Rabbi Hashem created the world. We know that when there was Nevuah, when there was prophecy, there was a desire for idol worship. What happened the minute? What happened when Nevuah was taken away? There was no desire for idol worship. When this Kedusha is stoma, when this stoma is Kedusha, if you ever realize somebody doing something, this opposition, you should realize that person is doing something good. When somebody's doing something which is significant, positive, that attracts negative. So it's always that way. When the guy read Parshas Chukas, they feel extremely insulted. We scream, Asher Baruch Abonu Mikol Olamim, we scream we're the chosen nation, we are the special people. Okay, you want to believe so great. But does that mean that the guy says, if I die, I don't become Tamei? But if you die, a Jew becomes Tamei? To them, that's insulting. To them, that might be considered racism. But we don't believe it's racism. We do believe there's a concept of Asher Baruch Abonu Mikol Olamim, and we say this every day when we go and make Berachas Hatorah. Does that mean we look at other people inferior? No. But does it mean that we look at that we are special? The answer is yes. They took the Parshas Chukas is the Parsha in the Torah which we stress we are the Asher Baruch Abonu Mikol Olamim. We have the if God forbid a Jewish person becomes dies, anybody which is in the building becomes Tamei. But in our Jew doesn't have that significance. So that means what you're saying is, in essence, that's an attack on us. That's an attack on us. So if it's an attack on us, then wait one second. But we're going to burn your chassis. And what was the point? Remember that the Magen Avraham said that it was a punishment because we burned the Sefer Rambam. I mean, you don't have correct respect to Chachma Yisrael. You're lacking in your spotless. You're lacking such a great yourself, the Chachmei Yisrael. That's what you did. So then, if somebody doesn't have the proper respect to Rishayim, he doesn't have respect to Gemara, and he doesn't have respect to anything else. An interesting point. This week was the yard site. Something was Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger was. I don't live that long ago, living about 1800s. I guess the older I'm getting and the crowd is getting younger, saying that somebody that lived in the 1800s wasn't so long ago. I guess, you know, when you're born in 1969, late 1800s, 100 years ago. I'm talking here to most of the boys, some boys here ready to born here in the year 2000. I think almost everybody here is. Right? I doubt anybody was born before here. Yes, the 1850s. Wow, that's almost 200 years ago. Okay. But anyways, there's something interesting about Shlomo Kluger. But so the Kluger spoke on this week's parasha. At his time, there was a magefa, there was a plague, similar to what we call today a pandemic, something similar to corona. And then there was the machlo of cholera. The machlo of cholera, which was around. And he spoke about this week. He spoke about the message of when a magefa comes. He says an interesting point. So I just want to give you just a little background of who Shlomo Kluger was. That you should appreciate who the person was, but we'll get to his idea. Shlomo Kluger, when he was alive, he had a tremendous desire just to write and write and write and write and write. On the Parsha Sadeira, they're coming out right now with a sefer on each Parsha individual. He had an idea, every Parsha, every Pesukim, he had an idea. He writes long, so it's very hard to get, you know, usually to get an idea out of him. But sometimes he says some solid ideas. just to give you a little background to show what type of Yetzer Hara he had. See, Yetzer Hara was one from Shabbos. He couldn't control himself. After Shabbos morning, after davening, he said he had a horrible Yetzer Hara to take a pen in his hand and to write down his chavushim, his novel thoughts that he had on the parsha. Now, I wish I would have the Yetzer Hara. I mean, when we finished davening Shabbos morning, I think our Yetzer Hara is just to go eat shalom. But this Yetzer Hara was Shabbos morning, right, to sit down and to go write down everything that he thought about on the parsha. He writes Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday was dedicated for writing chadushim on our shas. Wednesday he used to write shuvas, questions which people wrote them more over. Thursday, Friday, and Sunday he used to write his ideas on the parsha. Till one day he said he can't. He says, hey, he has such a crazy Yetzer Hara to write his Chedushim on Shabbos. He swore. He made a shvur. It's very interesting what the shvur helps. Well, the Torah says he can't do what a shvur helps will make a difference in the set of discussion. He made a shvur. He swore. He made an oath that he's not going to write anything until if he learns a daf and Gemara, a daf and a siman in each chelik of Shulchan Aruch. So he figured, I guess, by that point, he can calm down already and he won't have this desire to write his Chedushim. So the Kluva gathered the people together this week's parsha on Parsha's Chukas, and he was talking to them. After the pandemic ended, which hopefully Mitzvah Hashem will be able to talk about this one day here also as well. He says, you know, the Torah talks about different types of things that come, other types of punishments that can come. The Torah talks about certain circumstances, and then the Torah talks about makos nemonis. The Torah talks about plagues which are nemon. That's a simple question. You ever saw a plague yet that's Nema? Nema means it's trustworthy. You can trust me. I hope not to trust the plague. I mean, I hope that it's over. We're hoping that this current situation we are is only temporary. We don't believe in plagues. She said an interesting point. He says, when it comes to plagues, he says, and Kabbalah Chaimer, if anybody's following the news and reads up about this, he says, there's so many serious and contradictions. Well, if you for every day. Well, does antibodies work? Does it provide immunity? Does it provide immunity? Is plasma good for you to be given to patients or not? Another sphere. You know, even with the issue of wearing masks, yeah, there's somebody which came up with a study that I believe it was a grocery man. I just read about this recently. Somebody worked in a grocery that choked. He said, and there was a doctor that came up, maybe masks aren't the correct thing. Well, there's another sphere. How often should you wash your hands? What happens? It's Nema. A magefa is something which we don't understand. We don't understand how the corona works. If you read every day with Fauci, what he says, he has a sphere from the previous day. So we open up the economy, shouldn't we open up the economy? Should we send back the kids to school? Shouldn't we send back to school? Should we have herd immunity? Don't we have herd immunity? I don't know if anybody's following this. Every day is another sphere. But it's Nema. It's trustworthy. It's like, if you like it or not, it's here. If you like it or not, people are dying. It's a fact of life. People are getting sick. It's Nemanis. So the Torah said that if a person doesn't have, when it comes to, so he said, what's the punishment that the Baruch Hashem sends on my guy for? When a person's not ready to subjugate himself to the Chukia Torah, honestly, when it came to the Magaifa, you understood, you didn't understand. You wore a mask. Is herd immunity good or not? You don't know. But you just follow whatever everybody said. We're living literally, like they say in English, the blind living the blind. But people don't have true guidance. You know what was the point when we had, you know, when the Kluger, you know what we get when Chas V'Shalom and Klai Yisrael gets a Magefa? Is that we're lacking the ability to be Mevato ourselves, to subjugate ourselves. To be subservient to the Chukei HaTorah. If we'll be subservient to the Chukei HaTorah, and we'll keep what it says. Well, I don't understand. So who says you have to understand everything? You're 14 years old. You ever went to, besides the anti-vaxxers, you know, some woman sugar in a group that exists. You know, every couple of years, there has to be a new crazy group. You ever asked anybody when they went to a doctor and they're giving them a shot? You ever ask them, people always explain to me from A to Z, what's in there? I don't think so. What does a person do? He subjugates himself. because he realizes there's someone that understands better it. Right? The idea of what we're sought to, the idea of Erev Shabbos Parashas Chukas, let's try to culminate it, to make a summary of what we discussed. First of all, the idea that today is the day that the Shasas will bring. Okay? It's a day that's a kapara, it's an atonement for what they did to the Sefer Rama. Okay? And it's a day which we recognize, it's a day which was an attack on the Ashabach Abam, because they found a lot of ideas in Parish Mopet to not to their liking. But our ideas, who cares? And the idea that what? The Jew is proud of Ashabach Abam. And the idea that's what the Baruch Shem sends them a gave for. And sometimes it's to strengthen ourselves at one point. So the person has to be a Neman. If you believe it or not, you like it or not, it's here. And a person has to believe that it has the ability to hurt someone, it has the ability to damage, even if sometimes necessarily you don't see how things are working. Let me just tell you, let me just, for,